You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everybody's on the clock down in Dallas. Yeah. Everybody. And that includes the head coach. I don't know how Jerry Jones can sit there right now and watch the Cowboys with Mike McCarthy and feel good about them when he's watching what's happening in Washington with Ron Rivera or in New York with Joe Judge. I got some numbers to kind of frame into exactly what the Cowboys are right now. I want to get them right. They're 31st in point margin. That's only ahead of the New York Jets. They're 31st in efficiency. They're only ahead of the New York Jets. They're 31st in turnover margin. They're only ahead of the Denver Broncos. How is Mike McCarthy still feeling good about his job? And how does Jerry Jones still feel good about his job? Also, do we re-sign Dak Prescott? Does Dak Prescott want to re-sign there? Listen, everybody in Dallas is on the clock right now.
Can I interject something?
Yes, you can.
Drop this little mini bomb on NFL Live Wednesday. Dak Prescott should want out of Dallas. All right. And yeah. I've been holding out and saying that. I've been thinking about what they did offer him a contract and all of that. Dak Prescott should want to find a new spot to play football. Not only the disrespectful nature of what's been transpiring, but you look at this. What about this franchise tell y'all they gonna go in the right direction right in the next 2 years? Like how long does Dak Prescott want to be subjected to being in a position? First of all, you got a quarterback that we all see now worldwide that was the only living pulse that you had as a football team before he got injured. And the biggest indictment is you don't have a choice now but to look like you look. So that should want to go somewhere else.
Hey, Marcus, we got to go real quick here, but I have a feeling we've just scratched the surface on this topic.
Right.
The top of your head, where would he go? Where would Dak want to go?
It's a team on the West Coast with a coach named Kyle Shanahan.
Ooh.
And a GM named John Lynch.
Well, 49ers
that would love
action.
To have Dak
right.
Prescott running that offense.
All right.
San Francisco 49ers. Yep.
Only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
All right, it's been a while, Cowboys fans. The 2021 NFL season is officially over for the league. Just like everybody expected at this time last year, Tom Brady would win a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Bucks and destroy the Chiefs. This is a league where anything can happen, and I think that's what we're going to talk about today. Should Dak want to stay in Dallas? It's a big question. We know the Cowboys want Dak to stay in Dallas, but should Dak want to stay in Dallas? We'll be answering and asking that question today. Of course, we'll be talking about Drew Pearson getting into the Hall of Fame and more. So, welcome on in to About Them Cowboys. I'm Kent Garrison, producing. As always, we know it's been a while. There's a lot to catch up on, and we shall do so with the best of the best. But first, I want to remind you to subscribe to The Athletic, because all the offseason coverage, all the draft coverage you're ever going to want, including Dane Brugler's draft guide, is included in that. So, right now, the deal is $3.99 per month at theathletic.com/aboutthemcowboys. It's $3.99 per month at theathletic.com/aboutthemcowboys. So cash that in, sign up, and follow us along on this crazy journey of the offseason. But now, let's welcome in this panel first. He's a writer of the Dallas Stars for The Athletic, but he's a talker of the Cowboys for Ticket Radio. It's Saad Youssef, and we're welcoming in Father John Machota and Kevin K.T. Turner, the Bash Brothers. Welcome back, guys. It's been a long time. Kevin, good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, thanks very much, Kent. Appreciate it. It's only been like a couple weeks, but it feels like forever, guys.
Yeah, it feels like 9 years.
I was actually farting around in some Reddit thread, and some guy found me and asked me, "Hey, are you guys doing off-season stuff?" I was like, "Yeah, we'll be around in the off-season, which maybe not as regular, but we'll be around as we gear up for the draft with the Cowboys having a top 10 pick." I really wish the Cowboys would have won a Super Bowl. That would have been much better, but they didn't. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers did that. Somehow Tom Brady and the crew got it done. The Buccaneers defensive line and Jason Pierre-Paul and the gang all finding a way to get it done. I was actually, the game wasn't as good. Like, I was more into the halftime show and, you know, just the whole, all of it, you know, the whole event, all of it, because the game wasn't good. That was a disappointing thing. I thought we were going to get a close game. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on the game. I wish it was closer. I thought the Chiefs would have made it more of a game in the second half, but that defense just put the clamps down on Patrick Mahomes. He couldn't do anything. That offensive line was you know, perforated, to say the least. But I'm with you, man. That halftime show was awesome. Like, I saw some hate. I can't believe I saw hate on Twitter. I mean, like, come on, guys, what do we want? I don't understand our bar is for halftime shows. Like, good songs, entertaining dancing, like interesting lighting, like cool setup. Like, I thought it was everything you'd want in a halftime show, but hey,
that was everything that you'd want.
Yeah,
the weekend was everything you wanted, huh? For the Super Bowl halftime show.
I mean, I can't think of like five artists that are bigger than the Weeknd right now.
Yeah, I can think of five artists that would have like done a more entertaining performance. It was fine. I'm not gonna bash it and say it was like awful, but it's just fine. It was very forgettable when, after it's over, you start thinking to yourself, okay, so where would this rank with like other Super Bowl halftime shows that you've seen? I don't think that it's anywhere near the top. I think it's pretty forgettable. Am I wrong?
No, I think I think it was just somewhere right there in the middle. I think I enjoyed it while it was happening, but it's not one that like I'm gonna go back on YouTube and rewatch it and things like that. So I mean the one that I really enjoyed like was the Coldplay one, Super Bowl 50. Not because of Coldplay, but because Bruno and Beyonce were on the stage at the same time, and I just love that one. That was probably one of my favorite ones, and of course Prince as well. So you know, I think those were the ones that I go back and watch probably the most.
The Maroon 5 one a few years ago, that I barely forgot about that one already. That one was awful. Shakira last year, already forgot about that. I don't know. I think this one's gonna be sticking my. I've got the damn Blinding Lights song stuck in my head all for 12 straight hours. I mean, like, it's.
Oh, I think he's got a lot of good music. I don't know if it's the best for a Super Bowl halftime show. That's just the way I feel about it.
Oh no, I mean they. It's just the way it is now. I mean,
like Lady Gaga's music, even though Lady Gaga, you don't think of Lady Gaga with like football, like her performance is like a lot better than.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the number Weeknd. The number one artist for that would be Taylor Swift, but they can't get her because she's with Coca-Cola. So they're not going to let her do a Pepsi halftime show. It's just not going to happen. And so like, once you go down the list of who can we get, you only
it was fine. I'm not saying it was awful. I just think it's fine. I just don't think it's like anything special.
Who would you have rather had, John? Like, if you were like, man, if this would have been blank, this would have been.
Oh, well, I'll tell you this. Like, Taylor Swift's a good one, but I think that it has to be more than one person. I just don't know that there's any musical acts right now. Like, because I think if you're talking about like a lot of good songs that, and I know this might not fit with the older crowd, I would love to see Drake involved because Drake has just the most bangers of anybody over the last 10 years, as far as I'm concerned. And I just think he has a ton of hits that he would be good. But I know that if he was just the only person, it wouldn't be enough because there's not going to be the dancing and like the whole show of it. So you'd have to probably have like maybe Drake and Rihanna.
But see, I think I totally agree. I was going to say Drake as well. I think if Drake and Bruno did something together, that would be absolutely amazing. Because I think Bruno is probably one, like, I like his music too, don't get me wrong. But I just think Bruno is one of the best performers that we have. When John is talking about the dancing and the performing and stuff, Bruno Mars is absolutely amazing at doing all that.
Here we go, KT. Here's for you. This is for you. The Killers.
Let's go.
The Killers would be great for that, but I just think their time has kind of passed. And I know
I think they're at the point where they're like a classic rock band. It's like when you know they brought the Rolling Stones in to do it. It's like, guys, it's going to be play all hits from 20 years ago that people love. I think that'd be incredible.
Because the Cowboys weren't in the Super Bowl, I wasn't exactly like gearing up and watching a lot of Bucks and Chiefs tape and like, you know, really trying to find the keys to the game, you know? I watched halftime shows of the past all weekend long, and I did them all pretty much anyone that you can find on YouTube. And if anyone thinks anything from the past 8 years has sucked, then they don't remember what it was like in the 2000s when AOL Sprint, Bridgestone, and Nextel was your presenting sponsor at times. Like, I like the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones one is almost inaudible because the guitar is crammed up too loud in your ear. And then they did the whole thing where, you know, once they had the nip slip, they had to go to safe acts. So they let's go classic acts. And looking back, I'm glad those classic. And the Prince one was great, right? And I'm glad that Tom Petty got a chance to do it, but Tom Petty wasn't exactly beaming with energy. He was really old and standing there. And I want to say something, too. If you think anything was bad about last night, let me just tell you about the most awkward one. 2003, where it was Shania Twain into No Doubt into Sting. Shania Twain is lip-syncing, which is fine, big stadium, whatever. No Doubt comes out, and they are pretending to be hardcore punk rockers and are running around. And then Sting stands in one spot. Like, there was an X marked there, and it's like, Sting, you can't leave this X, okay? He stood there. He did not make one movement. A mannequin would have shown more energy to the crowd than Sting did. And I like Sting. I'm just saying.
Nothing gets a crowd hyped more than Every Breath You Take. I mean, that is just it just gets you super hyped for football.
It was Message in a Bottle is actually what it was, and it went on forever. But what I'll say is, like, now social media is like everyone's going to have a hot opinion on something. Guess what, guys? It's all pretty good. All of it is pretty good. We don't have to be extremist. Stay down the middle here. You know what?
That's what I'm saying. I couldn't believe I got on Twitter, and it was just solid hate. I'm like, just because it's a Super Bowl halftime show means there's people are going to hate on it. I mean, that's just the way it is. It doesn't matter how good the songs are, how popular the artist is worldwide or anything. It's just like people are going to hate to hate, and that's fine. But I thought it was an above average Super Bowl halftime show. Yeah.
One thing no one can hate on is Drew Pearson is in the Hall of Fame, guys. How about that? Finally, after a long wait, the news came down yesterday. Drew Pearson got the call, and he is in the Hall of Fame. It's very a difficult thing to comment on, I guess, for me, because I was born in 1988 and his career ended in 1983. And I know we're all here on this panel probably the same way there. But you're looking back at like era adjusted numbers and things like that, definitely a deserving candidate. Like you'd be hard pressed to find guys who in 1975 would have 8 touchdown catches. Like, they just weren't throwing the ball around like that back then. So I'd like to get your thoughts on Drew Pearson being in, and then we'll move on to some Dak stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I think the thing that stands out most to me when I think of Drew Pearson getting in the Hall of Fame is that I don't know of anybody in any sport with any Hall of Fame that has wanted it as bad as him and has made it as known as him. Just the cameras catching his reaction last year when he didn't get in, that's just stuff where you just don't see that. And so I just feel like it was really obvious that how badly he wanted it. And so I thought it was really cool the way they set it up with, Jerry Jones had called Drew and said that they had like a business meeting that they wanted to talk about. Drew thought it might've been real estate related out at the Star and that, you know, Roger Staubach was going to be there too. And the way they executed it, and then had David Baker knock on the door and all that, because you're obviously going to be limited with what you can do during a pandemic. And so the way they were able to do that, I thought it was awesome. And he's just a guy that you're just happy for him because you know he wanted it so bad. And I'm sure everybody that gets in the Hall of Fame wanted to be in the Hall of Fame. But if you were somehow able to rank it from guys that wanted to be in it the most, I think Drew Pearson would be in that category. He wanted this badly. And so, you got to be happy for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you saw the way John Lynch kind of got it, and I think that's the reaction that, like, you know, most people kind of had was like, hey, you know, if I get in, like, that's cool, that's great, but I'm not dying on this hill for it. And so I think that's why I agree with John that as well. But also, you know, to talk about his merits in getting in, I will say I obviously agree with KT. We can't speak to it in a certain way because of our age and that limitation. But when you look at his production, when you look at where he was on the all-decade team, he was like the only guy, the only receiver, or the only person, I think, not to be in the Hall of Fame that was on the all-decade team. And then also, you look at his production, his role in the Super Bowls, And then also you look at the fact that you can't really write NFL history without him. And I think when you're really productive and you have the like Hail Mary on your resume, then I think you obviously deserve it. So I'm happy for him that he got in.
So you're saying, Sai, that it probably wouldn't be in his best interest if they ran his highlights right next to Calvin Johnson's, considering he just got in this class?
Dude, if the other thing is, whenever Drew Pearson highlights come on, it's like, because of how much catch, non-catch, pass interference, and all this stuff, I'm just like, none of this would pass in today's NFL.
You know, when I looked at his numbers too, there's one thing that I thought about that was kind of important. Like, he ended his career at 32, and like the car crash that ended his career, like it's who's to say he didn't have three or four, five more years left.
Right.
Like that's a thing you have to like look at. And I know, like, because there are some things you might look at with his numbers, and sometimes you have to like throw in longevity as a part of the criteria. And I'm just like, man, do you rule out that a freak car injury ruined his career? I mean, I think that kind of plays into it, because he had the third most catches or fourth most catches he'd ever had in his career. You know, he had a pretty solid 47 catch season in 1983. You know, it is ridiculous too that he had 2 1,000-yard seasons in that era. Like, there's a lot to say about that type of stuff. And yeah, you can say he had a good quarterback and all that stuff too. And Danny White was a good quarterback in his own right, but like, he was still a productive player kind of at the end. So I think that's something I always keep in mind. But you know, I don't know. I guess certain people probably view this differently. I'm sure as you get older too, and more removed from the game. Not that Drew's terribly removed from the game. He's still involved in a number of functions and things like that. You probably do start going, man, what is my legacy and things like that. So I'm just real happy for him. We've all known Drew for a long time. It's good to see, you know, classic Cowboy getting the mix there.
Real quick on Sod's point about the, you know, some of those catches and things like that, when you watch the replays of the nowadays stuff, and it would never hold up now. That is absolutely so true. I think about that all the time, comparing to old receivers. But I'll tell you one thing that would look pretty foolish if you could go back in time and show them what was being called today in the NFL. And it would probably be a lot of those plays that were getting flagged in the secondary yesterday in the Super Bowl. Stuff was not getting called in Drew Pearson's day.
They didn't protect the quarterbacks back then either.
Right.
Roger was getting destroyed in the pocket during those times, and they were still putting up those numbers. There was no, oh, you touch him above the shoulders, it's a penalty kind of thing. No, none of that. It was football. So, like, it's even more impressive to put up those numbers. And yeah, I think the more of those guys, you know, back in the day that we can put in, I think the better. I think that we need to preserve the legacy of the NFL as much as we can, and appreciate that those guys really helped build the league and make it what it is. And Drew Pearson made America's team back in the day. Without him, we might not have the Cowboys dynasty. So that's all great. But who do you think should get in next, Cowboys players? Because when John Lynch got in this year, it made me honestly angry, because, you know, I think Darren Woodson, by all accounts, is a better player, has better stats, all whatever you want to say, than John Lynch. John Lynch played for 15 years, played three more seasons than Darren Woodson, and barely is crossing him in some categories like total tackles and things like that. But like, in terms of interceptions, tackles for loss, things like that, Darren Woodson was a better player than John Lynch. And so, you know, maybe the recency bias of, oh, he took a team to the Super Bowl as a GM, we understand his contribution to the game as a broadcaster, things like that help him get in. But Darren Woodson should be next in line if John Lynch is in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think one thing there is just the Cowboys part of this, right? Because like, Harold Carmichael got in for the Eagles, what was that, last year? But Drew didn't. And the reason why is because Jimmy Johnson got in. So you weren't going to put Jimmy Johnson and Drew Pearson in, have multiple Cowboys. And I think that's the thing. We've seen Jimmy Johnson get in, we've seen Jerry Jones get in recent years. And so I think the fact that so many Cowboys are getting in, it kind of hurts it, because look, I mean, is Darren Woodson going to get in next year? I mean, I doubt it because DeMarcus Ware's going to go in. So it's, you know, that.
Well, again, I mean, it's multiple Steelers this year, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, but I
don't know. I wish they were more consistent if, like, two teams can't get in. I mean, it just feels, I don't know. It's, like, more about a name popularity contest than it is, like, let's look at the stats and see how good these guys were and see who's the most deserving to be in, you know? It's almost like a Pro Bowl vote or something. But,
I think Darren Woodson's got that chance to get in late in his career, like, you know, kind of like Drew Pearson. You know, that's kind of, I think that's what we're kind of looking at. And I think it's going to be like that for a lot of safeties. I mean, John Lynch is just a little more out there. You know, he's jumping on, you know, Fox broadcast and stuff, you know, and then obviously the GM. And I don't know, that's not supposed to come into account. But, you know, Woodson was on ESPN for a long time as well. So it's not like he wasn't out there. But I think it's a good point you make, though. Darren Woodson, definitely a guy that's deserving. And Sod said it best right there. I mean, your two Cowboys that are up next year, Romo and DeMarcus Ware. I don't really think Romo's going to get in. Maybe Romo eventually gets in as a, you know, contributor or something because of years of broadcasting combined with playing. But I think DeMarcus Ware is your shoe-in. He will be – him and probably Anquan Boldin, I feel like, are probably – trying to think who else is up next year. They're probably your guys who are like, yep, they're in, no matter what.
Yeah, Charles – it's Devin Hester is up as well. It's funny because Mike Sando works for The Athletic, our senior NFL writer. He's a voter on the for the Hall of Fame. And we briefly touched on this on a little breaking news podcast over the weekend. And I suggest everybody that listens to this to listen to the Football GM pod with him and Randy Mueller, former GM. They talk a lot of front office and things like this. But he said when they were talking about Peyton Manning, that the other shortest conversation they've ever had was Emmitt Smith. Was like when Emmitt Smith's name came up, they're just like, has the most yards of anybody. All right, next. We're good. And that was it. Yeah. And they said that with Peyton. It was just like they were on a Zoom and it was just like, is anybody going to say no? No? Okay. All right. Moving on. You know, because it was just like 100% yes for everybody. That struck me that the only other time in the history of the Hall of Fame that there was such an immediate induction was Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. We're going to spend some time filibustering over these other guys. So let's just move it along with he's good. He's in.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to Dak, though. A report did come out yesterday from Ian Rappaport and, of course, everyone's best friend, Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network. Follow the Pelissero, guys.
Man, did you hear that? They might franchise tag him? That's crazy.
I heard that. But the revelation was that Dak had another surgery on his ankle that was – so in the report, they said that obviously, the initial surgery happened, but the primary concern was preventing infection, which we all kind of knew that. But the Dak went back in for a second procedure. Was that something that was just supposed to happen, or did that nobody knew about it because no one told anybody?
No, it sounds like it was something that was going to happen because when they went in there to do that first procedure, they found some other previous injury stuff that he had that it just would make sense that while you're doing this rehab to go back in there completely clear it up, and I'm sure it probably helped with whatever they had done the first time to make sure everything was, you know, healing correctly and things like that. So I don't think it was like, you know, when you hear a second surgery and the injury is somewhat similar to what Alex Smith had, then people are just all, you know, automatically worrying like, oh, is this going to be like some type of an infection thing where then, you know, Alex Smith has all these surgeries, and it's not like that. It's just a second surgery to clean some other stuff up. So from what I've heard, it doesn't sound like it's any like major concern. It's not like a setback or anything like that. So, you know, he's on track to, you know, he's supposed to be ready to do football things. I don't know if it'll be right when OTAs start, but, you know, the plan this whole entire time is that he's going to be ready for training camp and to be a full go, so.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Okay, so here's my question. Oh, will you guys go down a weird path with me for 1 second? I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy.
Oh, I am. Let's do it.
Let's, because the report, like, it very much feels like something, hey, we just need to put something out Cowboys-related on Super Bowl Sunday.
Right.
No offense to the guys, but that's what it feels like. So, basically, let's say something's wrong. Okay, hypothetically, what if something's wrong? If something is wrong with Dak that's preventing the Cowboys of signing him by March 9th, what if the Cowboys aren't 100% sold that Dak is healthy? What does that make you do when you think about the draft and think about the offseason? Because I would say this, if they don't get the deal done by March 9th, that then leads into free agency. And if one of the first things the Cowboys do is sign Andy Dalton very quickly, I think that tells you bad news about Dak's ankle.
It does. And I don't want to get too far off track because I like the topic and I like conspiracies. But I also want to say this, and I'm sure we'll get into some of this in a little bit, but what's going on right now in the NFL has changed how teams will be addressing quarterback. You know, there's a time there where you think that, hey, if you're moving on, well, that means you're going to have to draft one rather high. Like the way these chips are falling, obviously with the Matthew Stafford thing, it sounds like something's about to happen with Carson Wentz. You know, Deshaun Sam Watson. Darnold, yeah, Deshaun Watson, if they end up parting ways with him, like, I don't think this is some outlier, like, one-off, you know, offseason. And really tie it back into the Super Bowl, too. Let's not act like there were so many teams that were interested in Tom Brady. And what Tom Brady just accomplished, I think that also feeds into the idea that there's going to be teams out there willing to give up draft capital for a proven veteran. And I'm only saying at that position, at the quarterback position, because of things like, no, I'm not saying that teams are going to be like, oh, yeah, let's go get Matt Stafford. You know, Tom Brady's playing well into his 40s. Stafford can do that. No, I'm not saying that, but it certainly shows you that these veteran quarterbacks like that, if they're healthy, they can play a long time, and that it's not like you have to go to next year necessarily to the next young one. And then the other thing that factors into that is just like how many of the young ones are hitting? Like for every Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, like how many other guys are there like Josh Rosen that teams have moved on from immediately? How many other guys are like Sam Darnold that they're ready to move on from? Carson Wentz, Jared Goff. Like, these are high draft picks, you know? Obviously, Mitch Trubisky. Like, I don't know that it necessarily means, like, if they have the questions about Dak, that they're... And the other thing that factors in with me is just Jerry Jones and his age. Like, I see Jerry Jones going that route of trading picks for a veteran from another team more so than I see him being like, if we can't get Dak re-signed, then we have to consider Mac Jones at 10. Because why? He's the next quarterback on your list. You know what I'm saying, though? I don't think they would do it. But just the being like, well, four quarterbacks are gone, and we need a quarterback, and we're here at 10. So I know this is a little bit of a reach, but, you know, we got to go get Mac Jones. Because that was their perspective not that long ago, really 2016. That's why they were willing to trade up to get Paxton Lynch, because it was like, well, this is the last guy we have left on the, like, who we think are the top level quarterbacks. So we're going to try and trade back into the back end of the first round and pair Paxton Lynch with being Tony Romo's backup. And then eventually Romo will hand the keys over to Paxton Lynch. Obviously that would have been a disaster, but I'm just saying, I don't think that you automatically just, if they don't draft a quarterback, doesn't mean that they don't have other plans that they haven't been thinking about out there is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And also along those lines, you know, I think it also goes back to the Mike McCarthy hire, the fact that the Cowboys are in a win now window. When you look at the past few Super Bowls, or go however back long you want to, how often are rookie quarterbacks really, or young quarterbacks really winning it, or even really making it? I mean, Jared Goff a few years ago did, but other than that, it's veteran guys. And so that's why I think, you know, along with what John's saying, the fact that those guys are even available, but then look at the Cowboys. There's a reason why Mike McCarthy was hired and not Lincoln Riley or one of these other young guys. The Cowboys want to win right now, and I think a veteran quarterback like Matthew Stafford or something like that, a Matthew Stafford type guy, not obviously not him, he's off, but that type of guy makes a lot more sense than a guy you draft.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I guess what I would say, though, is if you look at it in this scenario, and again, this is all, you know, hypothetical or whatever, but I do think you get to an issue if by March 9th you haven't signed Dak. Like, and then you get to the tag situation, and that's really not good for the Cowboys, to be honest. But, you know, that was kind of popping in my head. Was like, okay, so like there was a second surgery, and maybe it was planned. But if it wasn't, is there something happening on Dak's end medically that's preventing the Cowboys from offering the 5-year deal or the 4-year deal that Dak wants? And I think anyone that's listened to the show knows where we, most of us, stand on this. I know I stand on sign Dak Mountain, and I've been there for a long time. I will tell you that my quarterback two this year is Trey Lance from North Dakota State, and he's only played like 17 games. But boy, if he's there at 10 and Dak is on a second franchise tag, I think you kind of got to consider it, because you're probably looking at Dak not being here if he's on a second tag, to me.
And if he gets to a second tag, I wouldn't read too much into the injury thing. If he gets to a second tag, I think it speaks even more to the case of, like, we don't talk about this very much, but that maybe they just aren't 100% in on him. You know, you have to factor that in. You don't think that because they say that they are, you know, and they've said it many a times. But then you also have to factor in, well, what else would you say? You know, he's your franchise quarterback. He's the guy you have right now. And you like him at this price, but you don't love him at this price. And that could be what they're going through right
now. Exactly what I was going to say. It's a difference between like and love.
Right. And once you go to the second franchise tag, you're in Kirk Cousins, Washington territory. So that's kind of where the parallel I would draw.
Yeah. And if he doesn't get that, if he is forced to play under a second franchise tag, there's no question that he's going to be like, okay, there's no guarantees that he's going to do an Amari Cooper where he's like, yeah, I'll go out there, I'll see what's out there, and then I'll come back to you guys and give you a chance to match it. He's going to be furious if he has to play underneath a second tag. He certainly believes he's done enough to get a huge contract, and many people believe the same thing. And I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve that, but I'm saying that where we are today, you have to at least factor in that the Cowboys feel that way, because actions speak louder than words, and the actions are that he hasn't signed yet.
And that's a bold move to think you can win the lottery a third time, because that's exactly right. What the hell happened.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to have to give you history. You guys know what happened with Romo.
Oh, there's no question that this isn't, like, a good way to go about it.
If you're going, okay, here's our top 8 or top 10 or whatever debate you want to have about what order he is in the league, and you go, you know what, not good enough. Right. Well, you better go sign Tom Brady then, you know? Or you better, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Better find a way to make a trade work in Houston for Deshaun Watson, because you are playing with fire once
Kansas
again.
Kansas City just lost the Super Bowl. Maybe Mahomes is available.
We can hang on to that deal. He's got a 10-year contract.
Would you offer Houston Dak and number 10 this year? Maybe a pick next year for Deshaun.
I think it's real close, the Dak and Deshaun. Like, I don't think there's a huge difference. So I would not.
Oh, wow. I thought that was an easy yes.
No, because I don't think Deshaun Watson is that much better than Dak. I don't even know that he is better than Dak.
I'm kind of with you, KT, and the big reason why is, let's just look at the Super Bowl yesterday. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. If you don't have tackles, if you don't have guys that can block for a quarterback, and if you don't have a defense that can stop the other guy, you can only get so far. And so if you're looking at, if they're both equal, and I'm actually on both sides. Like, I'm actually with Kent as well, because I do think Deshaun Watson, if you can get Jerry Jones and the Cowboys organization to commit to a guy, and if Deshaun Watson becomes that guy, then sure, like, I'm with that. Talent-wise, though, so that's why I'm with Kent, but talent-wise, if they're both equal, then I need Dak I need that quarterback. But then I also, like, this team, don't forget, like, I know it's been over a month since Cowboys football has been played. This team has a lot of holes, and they need that number 10 pick to fill a lot of those holes, because even when you're Patrick Mahomes, if you're running for your life all day, you just can't win. And so I'm on both sides there, but the reason why Kent's thing makes sense is because we can't get the Cowboys to commit to a guy. If they can commit to Deshaun, and we can stop talking every offseason about which quarterback is going to be under center long term, then I kind of understand that.
I think Deshaun Watson has more talent. I just don't know if I really do buy into it. I know some people might overrate this, but the fact that Dak is the unquestioned leader of this team and has gotten to that point, like, yeah, that doesn't really matter to me if, like, Dak's like the 20th best quarterback in the league or something like that. But the fact that he's in that conversation with those guys, like, that to me is the reason why try and do a trade and mix things up. Might as well keep the guy that you have. That makes the most sense. Then, you know, you bring another guy in here, let's say it's Deshaun Watson, there's no guarantee that he'll click with everybody as well as Dak had. Now, some will say, hey, well, what have the Cowboys done up to this point? It's not like they're winning Super Bowls. And I get that. But I do think that there's a lot of room to grow with Dak still. I don't think he's a finished product. And to Saad's point, look at the season Deshaun Watson just had. Like, Deshaun Watson had an amazing season, but he's with that awful team. And so there's only so much you can do. So I just hate the idea of giving up draft picks for any of these quarterbacks right now, because they need so much help beyond just the quarterback position. And we all know that they're not going to do that in free agency. They're not going to all of a sudden spend on a guy. Like, you're not going to sit there and, like, you know, people bring up, like, Ndamukong Suh is going to be a free agent. They're not going to go get Ndamukong Suh. It's going to do the same. They're going to do the same stuff that they've been doing, where they get, you know, kind of the bottom of the barrel guys that, if, hey, something works out, great, but they're not going to make any significant investments, you know, in free agency. So how are they going to get better? It's going to be through the draft. So I just hate any scenario that involves them giving up high draft picks.
Also, two things. One, Deshaun Watson, you just signed a $70 million, you know, guaranteed check, you know, last year. So, like, it is weird that you can just try to force your way out. Like, I think you should probably be prepared to be a Houston Texan next year. And B, Deshaun Watson, if you're upset with the politics down in Houston, I've got news for you, buddy. Ain't that different in Dallas? So, like,
oh, I don't know about that, though. I think what he's doing, I think he can force it. Like seriously, like, I don't know off the top of my... Yeah. And this is why. Name a situation where someone's tried to force a trade in any sport within the last 5 years that it hasn't worked out for them. Everybody has gotten out of their deal. Like, I can't seriously think of a scenario where somebody was, like, really unhappy and hasn't gotten out of it. And I'm talking not just NFL. I'm talking everything.
Well, what happens?
Like, what's more valuable? Deshaun Watson to the Texans or James Harden to the Rockets? If you play the game long enough, they'll eventually give you what you want. If you're not showing up the facility and you're not doing it, like, they'll give
it's
you what you want.
When you just signed a deal, though.
Yeah, he can't withhold services. I mean, that's, I don't know.
Kill their cap.
I don't know, he's not going to get any of that money if he withholds services. So it's,
maybe he wants to be out of Houston that bad that he's willing to risk that.
Yeah.
So it's September 10th on opening day or whenever opening day is, if he's not out there, and come on. He's going to play. He's not going to just say, guys, no, told you I'm not going to play and sit out of here.
That's what they said about Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell's a little different, and he lost. Like,
he did lose, but he did sit out.
I'm just saying, yeah.
And did I say Deshaun Watson's going to win this thing? I just said that. Don't rule out him getting moved.
I just think it makes more sense than I like to admit, that move. Because you send Dak to the AFC. You don't have to see him. You get your quarterback who is a Dak-like player. You don't have to change a lot in your scheme. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it makes
sense. Why would Dak want to go to Houston? He has to sign this tag to even agree to this thing. Why would he want to go to that dumpster fire?
That's a good point.
That's a good point.
And remember how Jerry treats Houston too. Jerry treats Houston like a rival, even though they're not at all. But I can't see that happening.
Well, if Jerry thinks he's getting the better end of the deal, he will not mind sending Dak away if he thinks Deshaun is...
Do you guys think Deshaun Watson's going to be with the Texans next season?
I do.
I don't.
I don't. I don't think he'll be there.
I'm telling you, name somebody that has not gotten their way when they've really wanted a star that's wanted to be forced out.
So someone's going to come bail them out.
Well, it won't be
that. The only way Deshaun Watson is not a Texan this year is if they win a trade, and they're not going to win a trade when they have no leverage, and they are complete morons running that circus.
I was kind of with you until the Stafford trade, because the Stafford trade to me looked – I mean, the Lions didn't have a ton of leverage there either, and they were still able to bank some draft picks, make it work, and Deshaun Watson is obviously better than Matthew Stafford. And so I think if they'll be able to get something with good value for Deshaun Watson.
I look at Miami for Deshaun. I think Miami's sending Tua and some picks to Houston.
Well, I'm just saying if Carolina was willing to give up 8 and Bridgewater for Matthew Stafford, I don't see why they wouldn't be able to give up why they wouldn't be willing to give up multiple first round picks for a guy that was a superstar at Clemson. Like, mm-hmm. to go to the Carolina Panthers, like, that seems like a perfect fit.
Yep.
And I think that they would give up the capital for it. I just think there's too many teams that need quarterbacks that are willing to give up what it takes to go. Because, you know what I see is not only in the games, but just the way teams operate in the NFL. You just have seen a change to where just, like, everything seems like, at least if you're having success, it's the teams that are most aggressive. The Bucs were aggressive about getting Tom Brady, more so than anybody else. More so than his own team that he won 6 Super Bowls with, and they were winners because of that. You know, I think the Lions are going to end up being winners for being aggressive with this whole move. And I think honestly, it's so weird to say this because almost all trades are just one sided. But I think the Rams are going to be rewarded for being super aggressive on their side of it. And you know, and I obviously you see that, you know, Andy Reid and you see Bruce Arians, two very aggressive coaches, the way they go about their business. They both get to the Super Bowl. You know, a lot of stuff that. I just feel like everyone's, you know, willing to risk it more right now than we've seen before, and I think that more teams are willing to give up that draft capital now than maybe we are in previous years. And I'm only saying this about the quarterback to get the quarterback. I'm not saying they're willing to do that for other positions. But if you need that franchise quarterback, I just think teams are going to be willing to give something up. I think Houston's going to get a really good offer for him, and they're going to be like, "Hey, we got to take this."
I want to be clear here. I think that Rams trade, that was a terrible trade by the Rams. I thought that was horrible.
But it's not if they get to the Super Bowl.
It's not if they get to the Super Bowl, but they don't care about their first-round picks anyways. And right. I just don't think there's that many teams. And maybe it's different this year with no combine, very little interaction. I remember Matt Rhule talking at the Senior Bowl, just talking about, hey, it was actually great. We get to kind of know these guys. He's talking about begging and pleading to let the Panthers be one of the teams at the Senior Bowl. Because he knew that the face-to-face interaction and bonding with these draft prospects is going to be like way different, and had a leg up. So maybe teams are like, "Hey, I'm just looking for picks in the next year. I could get out of my pick this year." But
would you be willing to risk all those? Like, let's use the picks as an example. So you wouldn't be willing to risk all of the picks that they gave up, the Rams have given up over the years, if I give you Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and Matthew Stafford all in their primes? I feel like we're in an era now where it's like,
I don't think Stafford's that good.
Let's push all the chips in and let's do this, you know?
I don't think there's a huge gap between Stafford and Goff. So just because Sean McVay is mad at Jared Goff, I'm like, okay. I know Stafford's better than Goff. But I don't think it's 2 first rounds better. And I get it. The salary offset makes
does make a big. If Matthew Stafford's contract was the exact same contract as Jared Goff, then they're not giving up 2 first round picks, you know. But it's because of the fact that Stafford's contract is extremely team friendly, and then Goff's is, well, you got to take a decent amount on there. But I don't know. I think I do it because what are you waiting for? Go get it.
Should Dak want to stay in Dallas?
That's the question here. That's,
yeah,
you know, because, you know, we could talk all day about, we know the Cowboys want him and how they can they keep him here.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I think we should think hard about this because I think maybe we're buying a little too much into the Dak wants to be a Cowboy and Dak loves it here. Dak just wants to be happy with his teammates and all that. This is his one chance of his career to choose his future. This is his one chance to basically secure himself financially and his family for the rest of their lives and to play in your prime for a franchise that could possibly go to a Super Bowl. So there's so much, so much on the line for Dak Prescott here. And it's not just, I've been here. Let's do this. Let's just keep this thing rolling. I'll hometown discount it, whatever, you know, I'm tired of negotiating. I think we're looking way too much into Dak's willingness to want to stay here. I'll just say that I want to put a source out there or anything like that, but I think maybe Cowboys fans assume Dak wants to stay here more than he might want to stay here, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it's bigger than the Cowboys thing. I think there's a lot of people that, to your point, can't think of it because of the endorsements and think of it because he grew up a Cowboys fan and then obviously the huge brand that they are. But I would say, while all that matters, I would factor in a big time. When you start looking down the list of teams that need quarterbacks, I know that the Cowboys need to do a lot of things in defense to get to a Super Bowl level. They need to have a huge offseason, especially in the draft. But offensively, there's just so many great pieces around you that if you're Dak Prescott, like, you got to love, one, you look at Patrick Mahomes running for his life yesterday with all these backups at offensive line. When you get Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, Zach Martin back, and even if one of those guys, let's say Tyron Smith retires or something like that, this is an organization that has shown an extreme commitment to build the offensive line. So if they need to draft another offensive lineman, invest there, they're going to do that for you. And then with the receiving weapons you have, he's obviously close with Ezekiel Elliott. He's obviously close with Kellen Moore. Like, from his own production standpoint, just take the Cowboys out of it and just say he's with the, you know, Chicago Bears or you know, somebody like that right now. Like, what they offer him, it'd be hard for me to pass it up, because here's the thing too, like, with the whole contract thing, who are you mad at? You're mad at probably two people, Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. Like, are you mad at the woman that works in the cafeteria? Are you mad at your teammates? Like, none of them had a say in it at all. You should be mad at like two people. Are you mad at the star, like the logo? Like, you don't even want to wear that on your clothes. Like, the fans have, for the most part, I know that there's always going to be fans that are critical, but for the most part, the fans love you. Your teammates love you. You're the unquestioned leader of this team. There's a lot more things about being with the Cowboys that I think are advantageous to him than more so than the, man, Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are being cheap. Yeah, that should piss you off. I'm sure it does piss him off, but like, I think that he can compartmentalize that and put that to the side and then see the other side of it. I think it's way more difficult when you're in a position where you don't like your teammates. You know, you don't like the coaches you have. You don't think that the organization's heading in the right direction. If those are the issues, then it's easier to leave. But with everything else that's there, I just think that there's a lot of positives to staying as the Cowboys quarterback.
Yeah, and I also think that what John's point there about the situation that he's in with especially Kellen Moore, but also the offensive weapons, that's something that should be taken account to a lot more than just the aura of the Cowboys and oh, he'll have more sponsors, you know, more opportunities off the field with endorsements and stuff. Dude, Baker Mayfield is in Cleveland. Dude is on my television every commercial break. Like, you can, like, this is the NFL. This is 2021. The Cowboys, yes, I'm sure the marketing opportunity is maybe a little bit better than other organizations and things like that. But it's not, I don't think it's anything drastically to where that factors in to your decision making. But I do think that the situation that he's in is really nice right now. And so I think that, you know, offensively and on the field. So I think that's something that probably should be a big reason why Dak maybe does want to stay. But, you know, with the way that the negotiations have gone, maybe you do get sour grapes. I don't know that.
Yeah, and look, here's the deal. If they have to tag him and he gets $38 million guaranteed this year, that's better than he would have gotten on 2 years of signing a contract earlier. So you can almost look at it that way. Look at the money I've banked and then open market. And then I think that's where I think the Cowboys have – this is where them farting around has put them in a dangerous situation leverage-wise, because that's a situation where if someone else wants to blow your offer out of the water in year three after second franchise tag – well, Dak can highly consider that. And he doesn't have to take it, but he can highly consider that. And now you have to play ball with another team. Like, you've had all this time to negotiate by yourself. It's almost like, hey, oh, here's a beautiful ribeye steak. It's cooked the way I like it. There's a napkin and a fork and a knife there, and also some delicious sides that I like as well. And no one is going to come steal this from me. Okay, I can sit here and eat this, or I could be like, oh, Vikings? Oh wait, the Vikings are now cutting into my steak right now. Oh my God!
But here's
now
the problem, though.
Dude.
But here's the problem, KT. You don't know. That's the way that you think. That's the way I think. You don't know. That's the way they think. They might think that they can easily get another steak. Like, seriously, you can't rule that out with them. They could look at it seriously. I haven't heard anybody say this. I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not saying that this is the way they feel or anything. But like, there could be a part of them that thinks like, you know what was so successful. Why he was able to step in right away in 2016 is because we built this offense so much for Romo to be Romo friendly that we built up the offensive line. We put these receivers around him. We invested the fourth overall pick in Ezekiel Elliott. You know what? We can put another guy in there and he'll have all these weapons and he'll have this offensive line and that guy will have some similar success. He might not be as successful as Dak, but you know what? We won't have to invest as much money. I think that's a dangerous way to live, but you can't rule out that they're not thinking that.
I think they think if they had a full offseason with Andy Dalton,
Oh my God.
I really do think that's the way Jerry thinks.
We've seen him.
He's been in the playoffs before. We've seen him do it. We've seen him. We can do it again. We know that. I really do. I don't know if they think the drop off is that much more significant, and that's so sad. That is so sad. But you know that's kind of where Jerry I think falls on this.
What's the worst steak that you can think of? And hey, who is that quarterback? Go.
Well, Dak's a ribeye steak, and we do like ribeyes, but we're looking for a tomahawk. John Jones likes a little sirloin, little Andy Dalton sirloin.
Is that Jerry Jones over there, or is that Bill Clinton?
I think it's all of them. Okay. It's Arkansas in general. It's just Arkansas. So, hey, it's me, Mr. Walton. Yeah, it's Arkansas.
What's the worst steak, seriously? Like, if you were someone who's like, oh, just like, this is the...
I don't know, like Golden Corral or something like that, maybe. I don't know, like a... I'm thinking like mass-produced steaks would be probably the worst.
Is Golden Corral steak worse than, like, Chipotle steak?
That's not steak. That's like taco meat.
Yeah,
I'm talking like filet. Go get a steak, like a steak that
what
you would
steak,
take a potato.
Technically, it's like...
It's definitely steak. It's not taco meat.
But. No, it's like carne asada steak. It's not like a
That's an option, but they also have steak. I'm trying to think of what's the bottom of the ribeye guy,
but I mean, some people like T-bones and things like that. For me, I like the ribeye.
I don't even mean the cut. I just mean like what you would just assume is just like, you know,
Applebee's
or something. Like your high school, you know, hot lunch, steak or something.
Yes. Yeah, Salisbury steak. Yeah, that's what it is.
All right. What quarterback is that?
Andy Dalton.
Oh, come on. He's better than that.
Barely.
No.
Ben DiNucci.
That's got to be like Sage Rosenfels or something. It's got to be
that's hot levels. Dogs.
Are you? Let's look around the league a little bit. And if you're Dak, what teams would you look at and say, if it wasn't Dallas, that would be where I'd want to go? I mean, because I really only two teams stick out to me, maybe three. And I think what Dak really has to consider is the defense. You know, we talk about weapons all the time and can they protect Dak? Do they have a good running game? All that. But I think that Dak really needs a team with a defense that can hold up their end of the bargain way more than the Cowboys can. And, you know, we've said this defense cannot be fixed in one offseason. You know, will it be 3 years before the defense is good enough to play at a Super Bowl level to, you know, go play against Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl and be able to shut him down? You know, I think that is seasons away. And so, you know, maybe that will weigh heavily into Dak's thinking, is maybe I need to be with a team with a defense that's way more on the right track than what we are. So the teams I look at would be Chicago, Indianapolis, and San Francisco as well. So those are the three places I would...
I would put them all behind New England. They get the chance to play with Bill Belichick, a highly motivated Bill Belichick after this most recent
Super
Bowl.
Does Brady just destroying in the playoffs and Super Bowl, I mean, does that like weaken Belichick's
Oh, did he?
I don't know. Influence at all?
Did he retire?
No, he didn't retire, but like
you don't think he's going to coach for another 10 years? You don't think he's going to get back to another Super Bowl?
What I'm saying is everyone just assumed that Brady was so good all those years because he was with Bill Belichick, and that as soon as he got to Tampa, he's like, yeah, okay, just wait until a 43-year-old quarterback goes down there, and we'll see what happens, right? We were all saying it. John, you were saying it on this show. It's like, yeah, I don't see it. I don't see what Tampa can do. And then Brady... Just Brady that.
No, I would love to go back to the tape on that. I most certainly didn't. Sod knows, I say this all the time, that Tampa Bay team is not nearly as bad as people. I hate when people keep comparing it to previous Tampa Bay teams. That defense is dope. Like, this isn't the Tampa Bay team of, like, 10 years ago. Like, I don't think that anybody expected them to win the Super Bowl, but, like, to make the playoffs in that, I didn't know. They were playing YOLO ball with Jameis, and they weren't, like, three wins or anything like that. That doesn't do anything for me to take away from Bill Belichick, though. Like, Tom Brady's great. I would never take that away. He's the greatest football player that's ever played. But then, like, all of a sudden, like, I feel like everything's switching to kind of like, yeah, maybe Bill Belichick's overrated. No, he's the greatest coach that's ever coached. Watch what he does in the next few years. Like, you think he's about to fall off? Buckle up.
No, I think while I agree with you, John, there's one part of Bill Belichick's aura that does take a little bit of a hit. And Mike Sando wrote about this last night in one of his pieces, that you can't discount the fact how much Brady made the person. Now, I agree Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, but Bill Belichick is also the general manager there by and large. And when you look at what Brady did in Tampa Bay, he signed there and brought Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown. Like, these guys came because Brady came there. And Brady also made a lot of personnel decisions in New England a lot easier just by being there. I think now Bill Belichick, from a personnel standpoint, not a coaching standpoint, from a personnel standpoint, is going to have to do a lot more work, because you can't just say, hey, you know what? Go play with Deion Branch, David Givens, and Troy Brown while I load up with Rodney Harrison and Teddy Bruschi and Willie McGinnis. And so now he's going to have to be a lot more of a complete person in that standpoint. And I think that's where Bill Belichick's going to have to make the biggest adjustment. I still think he's the greatest.
Do you have any
coach.
Doubts that he's going to do that?
But it's not all about him now. Now you have to get players to sign there. Like, that's the thing where before you didn't have to do that because people want to play with Tom Brady.
That was a report out there. Last week, I think, on The Athletic, that people, you know, anonymous Patriots players, former and current, were polled, and the majority of them said they went there to play with Tom Brady, not to play for Bill Belichick.
Right. Oh,
and I don't doubt any of that either. But I mean, you guys really don't think that Bill Belichick is going to be able to find players? I mean, his greatness is the fact that like nobody can just really rattle off like all these Hall of Famers that he's coached outside of Tom Brady, because he puts guys in position to win better so than any coach in this era by far. Like, he'll find other guys. Like, there's zero doubt in my mind about that.
I have four teams that would be good for Dak. Oddly enough, they're all in the same division.
Let me guess. All in the AFC AFC South?
They're not in the AFC.
No. I was thinking Indianapolis.
Because we're talking about the year after next, right, for the landing spot, because he plays on the tag this year.
Ah, you're talking about the NFC South.
I am talking about the NFC South.
Yeah.
Carolina Panthers with sharp teeth and claws. Brady's two-year contract runs up. Let's say his arm falls off this year. It won't. He'll be around forever. The Saints, what are they going to do? 1 year of, like, trying to figure it out? What are they going to do? And then the Falcons. I think four teams are going to be looking for a quarterback sooner than later. Makes a little bit of sense that Dak could be a candidate to go there. Also, you know, there's a little bit of, hey, I'm from the Southeast, you know, that whole thing. So
I think the Saints, they'll find their guy this offseason. They're not going to – Jameis Winston isn't going to sign for another one-year deal. If they believe in Jameis the way the reports are coming out of New Orleans, he'll get more than 1 year. And if they don't believe in Jameis, then they're going to throw their hat in the ring with some of these other guys. And I feel like the Saints will get their guy this offseason. I wanted to throw in one guy earlier, one team earlier that Kent mentioned, because I want to bounce this one off you guys. And I know, Kent, Kevin, you'll have a say on this just because of the teams we've watched over the years. But, like, I don't know about you, but I just got this feeling, coming from a cursed longtime Lions fan, I think the quarterback position's cursed in Chicago. I don't think it's really that great.
Here's the pitch to Dak Prescott. Here's the pitch to Dak. You come in here, and you're pretty much immediately the best quarterback in the history of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and that might work, but I'm just saying, wow. Like, history speaks.
Think about it.
History speaks against
Jim McMahon.
History says that you're probably not going to have success there as a quarterback.
Right? But yeah.
Hey, maybe they finally get it right.
Quarterbacks, yeah, they spit them out there. You're exactly right.
But, I mean, was that the pitch that they told Nick Foles?
But
that's worked out.
I think
well.
Nick Foles is. It was more about his connection with the head coach. But
yeah, that's the pitch they gave Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
Is that the
right,
pitch?
Right.
That's the pitch they gave.
Their GM is a Romo's buddy. So
yeah, maybe. Ryan Pace. Yep. We, you know, and you look at the weapons in Chicago, you know, they've got, you know, Allen Robinson, you know, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet drafted, Jimmy Graham, David Montgomery, putting together that O-line. I don't know. It'd be intriguing for me. I guess we just need to be aware of and cognizant of the fact that there's going to be some options out there for Dak if he wants to play hardball in this thing. And pick and choose Deshaun style where he wants to go and all that. He could certainly.
Yeah, there
do
will
that.
Be, but there's they might be fine with that, though. Yeah. That's the
if
thing
he doesn't
that we
sign
have to factor
this tag,
in.
It's going
to
be like he's going to get just so much money. I mean, good God. This team's going to be just falling over themselves if they don't work out a deal and they end up moving on. It's going to be insane.
Oh, there's a lot of great options. There's a lot of great options. It goes beyond just those teams, too. Yeah. I mean, you throw in the 49ers. We mentioned the Panthers earlier. I mean, the ultimate slap in the face of the Cowboys would be as if he went to Washington.
No
yeah,
chance.
Yeah, no. But also, you know, I will say also Bob's column, I think it was a week or two ago, where he talked about this is all Dallas's fault, how this has kind of transpired. I don't know if the Cowboys are just kind of oblivious to this. No matter whether it's Dak or another quarterback, it's only going to get more expensive if you're going to sign a guy of this caliber. It's never going to get cheaper. Like, you can either admit your mistake and sign him this offseason. If you put him on another franchise tag, it only gets more expensive once the next guys do sign their deals. And so I think, you know, the Cowboys are just fooling themselves as they think they're, you know, doing themselves any favors by waiting this out.
Yeah, my big thing on this is, like I said earlier, we don't know how 100% what they're thinking. We can only go off of what they say, and they might not look at it that way. They might seriously think that they have this great advantageous situation that they can make bad quarterbacks look okay quarterbacks look good, and good quarterbacks look great. They might seriously believe that. They might feel, because of their offensive line, their offensive receiving weapons, and their offensive coordinator that they obviously think a lot of, that they might think a lot of guys could have success here. And I think we would all agree that's a very dangerous way to live, but you have to factor that in, because I think too many people from the outside just assume that the Cowboys feel the exact same way that we do. And I don't know. I mean, just judging by what they've done up to this point, I don't know that we can say that. They certainly look like a team that are willing to roll the dice on another potential franchise tag with Dak Prescott. And if that's the case, they're not stupid. They know if he goes to the second tag that there's a good chance he's not playing in Dallas in two years from now, that this will be the last year for him. So, and I don't think that's a good situation for anybody either, because while Dak will be really motivated from that, I don't know that he needs any motivation, one. And two, if things start going wrong early in the season, like, I just think that it could really snowball in a bad direction for the entire team if you got this, your franchise quarterback that, keep in mind, the guys in the locker room feel the way that we do, that we're talking about right now. And if he's not signed, the way that they're looking at it is just kind of like, what are we even doing here? So it could be really ugly if that's the way that they go about it. And then here's the other part. Okay, so let's say you do the franchise tag there, and let's say you do take like a Trey Lance or something like that. Then you're in that Eagle situation of this past year where it's like, all Dak has to do is have a couple of bad games, and then all of a sudden, you know, that's all the talk is, like, maybe they need to just give Lance, you know, give Lance like a quarter. Let's just see what he can do. Let's just see what he can do out there. You know, and who knows? Like, you don't want all those distractions either. That's not a good situation. Clearly, it didn't work out well in Philadelphia.
I'm with you on that, except for the fact that Lance only had, like, he has under 20 games of college experience. So, like, I don't think it's a little different than Jalen Hurts, who has a ton of experience, you know.
You think that the outside public in the media is going to about that if he's on the Dallas Cowboys?
But Trey Lance isn't making it past Philadelphia in the draft. There's no way. I don't think.
Oh, another North Dakota State kid to Philadelphia.
I'd be a hard sell over there.
I don't know.
He's a guy too, though.
Or Carolina. There are teams that need quarterbacks ahead of Dallas.
Yeah, for sure.
Those top three guys. I mean, maybe even Zach Wilson. Top four guys are all going to be gone by number 10, I think.
Teams needed quarterbacks in 2017, and somehow, if you were picking at 10, you still would have had a chance to get Patrick Mahomes. You know, Deshaun Watson fell in that draft. Like, with them having four quarterbacks.
Well, there's not those pass rushers in this draft. There's just not those that one number one corner in this draft. It's just so much more quarterback top heavy than maybe most years. More teams need franchise quarterbacks than
absolutely. But I just over the last 10 years, probably 20 of following the draft closely, I can't think of one draft where like the first 10 picks all went like everyone expected. There's always stuff that's in there where you're just like, they did what? Why did they do that? And then all of a sudden, and then this guy's still here at 10. Like, I think that if they went that way, I think there will be one of those four quarterbacks still there at 10. I don't think it will be the best one out of the options there, but.
Do you think at all that the Will McClay, the scouting department, personnel department has been told by Jerry, it's like, hey, look really hard at these quarterbacks because we do have a top 10 pick. And, if we think we can draft one of these guys and he's going to be better than Dak, then let's go that direction.
Okay, hold on here. For all the criticism Jerry Jones gets for being like the worst GM ever, don't you want your GM to be doing that?
Oh, I do.
Like,
I
no
do,
one's
but,
saying that
but
you.
Do you think
you
Jerry
need to draft
is,
a guy, but
is strongly considering like not going the sign Dak or go get a veteran like that? That
like you
drafting
said, realistically,
a guy at 10 and realistically he can be a starter this year is an option.
If he's a good businessman like he is, then he should be considering all options. Absolutely, they should be factoring all that in. There's no doubt about that, especially because of the fact that like quarterback is just so important. You know, I mean, it's so much more important than anything else. And who knows what happens between now and April. Like, they could think that, oh, yeah, no, we're good. Like, we've already talked to Dak multiple times. This contract's going to get done. And then all of a sudden something falls through in the last minute. Like, you have to be prepared for all situations. Man, that would be bad if they weren't preparing for that. Now,
I know they'll be prepared, but I'm just wondering if maybe we're not putting enough emphasis on they could draft a quarterback instead of sign Dak or go a different direction.
Definitely, and you know what? It's February 8th as we record this. That'll be a whole nother step in that direction on March 9th because you've had your chance here. But if they think they can – and think of it, too, if their whole idea, too, is like, hey, quarterback on the cheap. Trey Lance is a guy you can just let him run for 20, 30 times a game. I'm not talking about this upcoming season. He would sit for a year while Dak's on the tag, and then he takes over, which is pretty ideal for Trey Lance sitting a year, honestly, for him, as he's young and doesn't have a ton of college experience. Boom. Sit for 1 year. Dak's gone after the tag, and he's a guy you don't have to worry about preserving him because I don't know if you're with Trey Lance – they may treat him like, oh, dude, you just run it 20 times a game, too.
That's okay. Again, if this team was rebuilding, I'd be fine with this. But, like, the fact that they brought in Mike McCarthy, that they're doing – I mean, that even after the first season of just a disaster on defense, they already are like, no, we're going to get Dan Quinn. We're fixing this defense. We're here to win now. We hired this coaching staff to take the next step. What a distraction that would be to bring in this other quarterback. Like, that's the type of stuff that could potentially divide locker rooms. Like, that does not sound like a good plan for 2021.
Do we overestimate why they brought McCarthy in here?
I wonder. I really honestly wonder what Mike McCarthy, if Dak wasn't here, for instance. Let's say he's hired this year and there's more of an open window for him at quarterback. I wonder what, if he had it his way, what direction they would go at quarterback?
Oh, they would be going after a veteran. They would be going after a veteran right now.
What style of play, though? What kind of player?
If Dak was gone,
they have that kind of.
They would. They would have been offering pick 10 and something else for Matthew Stafford. They would have been having Kellen Moore, a guy that's good friends with Stafford. Mike McCarthy, a guy that's coach against Stafford. They would have been all in on making that move. And if not him, they would be going after another veteran. I do not see Mike McCarthy wanting to go and use a high first round pick and developing a quarterback over the next year, two, three. He might not be the coach in another year, two or three. He needs to win now. So that's another factor. And that's why. Yeah, you have to study these quarterbacks, but I just really think that if their long-term plan isn't Dak Prescott, I think that they're going to kick the tires on a veteran.
Yeah, and I think also you have to be careful when you do draft these young guys to sit behind veterans. I mean, it's fine if it's Jordan Love behind Aaron Rodgers because he's Aaron freaking Rodgers. But like John said, I think very highly of Dak. Dak is not in the same breath as Aaron Rodgers. He's closer to the stratosphere of what Carson Wentz was before this season than what Aaron Rodgers is now. So I think that's why you have to be very careful and see what happened in Philadelphia and not think that, you know what, look, Packers drafted Jordan Love and it motivated Aaron Rodgers to the best year of his career. No. That's Aaron Rodgers. Dak is not that. So you have to be very careful about how you treat that.
Yeah, and you can't expect it to go as smoothly as I was trying to think of another scenario off the top of my head where that worked out. I was going to say when they basically did the transition from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's a different scenario than this
right.
is, too. You know, there's guys – I find it hard to believe that guys in Kansas City bought in that Alex Smith was going to be their long-term franchise quarterback at that point. Like, you knew that the future was coming. This locker room believes that Dak Prescott is their long-term quarterback. So all of a sudden to bring in another guy there with a top 10 pick, I don't know. I think there could be a lot of problems there.
They also believe Zeke is their long-term running back and Jalen Smith is their long-term linebacker.
Do you think they do now, though? They did at a time, but I don't think they do now.
I don't know.
They obviously did when they gave him
the locker room very much. Hard to know.
Yeah. I mean, they obviously did when they gave him those contracts, but I find it hard to believe that they still feel that
John,
way right now.
John, just watch the tape. Watch the tape.
Just watch the tape, man. Just watch the tape.
Okay. I will.
Were you there?
I will say,
I was there.
I want to go. I can't wait to go back and watch the tape of that Super Bowl, though, just because.
Oh, my God. Kill me.
I mean, at least what they did on defense, Tampa Bay. Like, the fact that, like, they could get all their pressure from their front four like that and just play those safeties too deep in the backfield like that where, I mean, to really do what they did to Patrick Mahomes in that offense, I mean, it's really
Patrick
stunning.
Patrick Mahomes had no touchdowns.
Yeah. It's almost like Ndamukong Suh's a good player. It's almost like having a one technique who can do a little bit of both, clog the run game, and have a little bit of pressure. Like Vita Vea coming back. Like the Bucs did the exact same thing they did to the Packers and the exact same thing they did to the Saints.
It's almost as if like...
That's what they did. It's like easy. We won the line of scrimmage all game long.
It's almost good as luck. If defense... is important to win championships. Yeah, that's
why. Well, no, I mean, and you look at last year in the Chiefs. I mean, yeah, they were good, but like Chris Jones dominated that game last year. Frank Clark dominated that game last year. Like you have the other side of the equation has to contribute something.
And I don't know that that their defense doesn't play better in that game if they're not penalized as much as they are. I mean, that was an outlier for them. They're not penalized like that on the back end of their defense. Like, they play a physical branded defense like Seattle did for a long time that it's like, well, are they really going to call all of these? And they were calling all of them. So I wouldn't say that Kansas City doesn't have a good defense or anything like that. I will factor in this, though, too. And I think it's interesting that I wonder how much the magnitude of that big stage plays too, in terms of things kind of snowballing in a wrong direction because of just knowing how big every play is in that. I just think the pressure is so huge that as much as Kansas City has played these last couple of years where it just seems like, I mean, they really do remind me of like the Golden State Warriors of just like where it's like nothing fazed them or whatever, but like, in a one-game elimination like that, I just feel like, man, right before half, like Tyrann Mathieu's getting into it with Tom Brady, yelling at refs, getting, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct. The way you unravel like that, it just, in that one game like that, it just seems like it's so hard to get that thing back on track like that. And, but I wouldn't say that Kansas City, you know, just has like a bad defense or something like that, that they didn't invest there. If anything, this is probably the best defense that they're going to have for a few years because it's going to be hard to pay guys now that you gave Mahomes that contract and you gave Chris Jones that contract.
Yeah, I think one part that did kind of stand out to me, it's kind of ironic and kind of funny, is that Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, he was the defensive coordinator in 2007 for the Giants when – with the front four alone, that's what the Giants did to Tom Brady, right? Like they brought the pressure with just the front four, and they were able to dominate that game, that Super Bowl in 2007. And so I thought it was ironic that, you know, the script was kind of flipped there. But also, you know, back to Patrick Mahomes for a second, there was a lot of absurd stats that were thrown out there last night with, like, you know, Tom Brady more Super Bowls than every franchise or whatever else. I think the most absurd stat to me was that last night was the first time in Patrick Mahomes' career, he lost by like double digits. That's just crazy.
Well, not only that, but just the fact that he was running for his life and still getting off the throws that he did that were like on the money. And you're just like, at some point you could tell like even the receivers were probably like surprised that the ball even got there because he was throwing it like completely even with the ground where you're just like, there's no way he got that thing off. It's crazy how talented he is. And for them to like play that way, it's just so stunning. If I didn't watch that game and you told me that that's what happened, that was the final score, I mean, I'd have to go back and watch it because I just wouldn't even believe it. I just didn't even believe it. Like, I mean, and hey, all props to the Bucs defense. They're loaded. They have playmakers on all three levels. Hey, but to just do that, like, I'm just like, I don't know. If anything, if you want to tie it back to the Cowboys, it speaks to, for as much as you can bash the Cowboys about different things, like, it's smart to invest in an offensive line because as good as that Bucs front is, I find it very hard to believe they're getting consistent pressure like they were. If you have Mitchell Schwartz out there, if you have Eric Fisher out there, like obviously those guys, I mean, Shaq Barrett, JPP, those guys are going to get in there, but they're not going to get in there the way that they were, where it was like, hey, again, tying it back to the Cowboys, kind of remind you a little bit of after Lyle and Tyron Smith went down, some of the offensive line play that we saw here. It's like, I don't care who you are as a quarterback, you're not going to succeed when they're just getting four guys pressuring and they're allowed to drop back. You know, their safety is too deep. Like, what are you going to really do? There's only so many players out on the field. There's only so many things that you can do. So you need to protect your quarterback. So, you know, anybody that thinks that they just wasted picks on offensive linemen, obviously, you know, getting Frederick, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, that's a huge deal.
Yeah. Real quick. One little Cowboys tie that I thought of yesterday. It hit me when I was watching it was also Devin White. Like, if you like, he's the best. I think he's arguably the best player on that defense. And when you look at that and you look at the Cowboys, either Leighton Vander Esch can't stay healthy if he's supposed to play that role, or the other guy is Jalen Smith. And I'm not saying, you know, you go draft, you know, Micah Parsons or anything like that. I'm just saying it's kind of troubling that the leader of that defense, the best player on that defense, is Devin White, and your alternative is either a guy that can't stay healthy or a guy that just isn't good. And that's kind of troubling.
Yeah, the one positive, though, that you can take away from it from the other side is that is one way to go about it. You do need – it's great to, when you invest high in the draft in a linebacker, you want him to be Devin White. But then you have the Chiefs that have also shown you that not so much yesterday, but the year before, they were able to get it done a lot with Damian Wilson, Anthony Hitchens, guys you can find in the fourth round that are just solid if you have good play up front, you know, that can kind of mask some of that stuff. So I guess what I'm getting at is that if it doesn't work out with Jalen and Leighton, it's not like, now we got to draft another linebacker in the first round, and we better use a high second round pick on another linebacker. Like, you can probably get the job done if you have some decent pass rush with maybe some guys you can find in the third, fourth round. They're not going to be the playmakers that Devin White is, but there is more than one way to win at that position.
And also, you can remake your secondary through a draft real quickly. You look at Jamel Dean from Auburn.
Antoine Winfield does not seem like a player the Cowboys would have drafted. Don't ask me why, but he seems like a ball player.
Antoine Winfield, Bunting Murphy, you know, like all these guys, and they only took the shot at Vernon Hargraves like 6 years ago, and that didn't work out. But they proved
it is pretty interesting.
You can turn around a secondary very quickly,
right? But it is interesting that those two teams that did make it to the Super Bowl, and I thought were, you know, clearly the two best teams in the league this past year. Not a lot of great cornerback play, though.
Not great cornerback play, but really good safety play.
Yeah,
with the Chiefs with the Honey Badger and he kind of linebacker too. And Juan Thornhill, you know, who we all know real well around here. So
yeah, interesting. You know who led the Chiefs in tackles yesterday was Damian Wilson. Right. Would have been nice to have had him signed when he was here. You know, he ended up him and Anthony Hitchens, man. I don't know. That offseason, if they would have signed those two guys, like, I don't know. We might be in a better place than if we had drafted Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith and all that. Like,
they would have been, but hindsight's 2020, and they really believed that Jalen Smith was going to turn back into the linebacker that he was for Notre Dame. And if he is that linebacker, then to Saad's point, then that is a Devin White type player.
Yeah. Tampa Bay and, you know, Devin White, Levante David. I think Levante David is among the most underrated players of his time, really. Yeah, I mean, incredible. he's an incredible player, and the way they built that defense, I mean, that is a template for the Dallas Cowboys. Vita Vea, right? Imagine if the Cowboys had a guy like Vita Vea on that defensive line, you know?
Shaq Barrett, JPP. No, I mean,
Ndamukong Suh, right? Yeah. You know, these guys, Carlton Davis, McCoy. You know, these guys are machines. And so, you know, Antoine Winfield Jr. too, you know? So these guys, if I was Dallas, man, I would, you've got to invest in the defense, man. You just have to. And I just hope this draft is all defense, and we'll find out. We got a lot to talk about here in March. I think they're gonna sign a lot of veteran defenders and free agency. Maybe we'll get a little Legion of Boom reunion here with Dan Quinn and some former Legion of Boom players, maybe an Earl Thomas or a Richard Sherman, maybe.
Did you really say KJ
Wright? KJ Wright, Bruce Irvin. Well, we're not going anywhere. We'll be around here on The Athletic. John Machota, an article up today about the Cowboys. Go right there right now. What do they need to do to make it to the Super Bowl? You can go do some reading after listening to John. Saad Youssef, our Stars beat writer. These Dallas Stars are pretty good here, Saad. Got a good team. How about that?
Yeah, they're the face of DFW sports success right now, so why wouldn't you want to hop on that bandwagon?
Levi Weaver, what happened with that Elvis Andrews trade? Got to go to The Athletic and find out. Hey, Tim Cato, are the Mavs going to be better? Hey, yeah, tell us. He'll tell us. All kinds of stuff. Jamie Newberg, Bob Sturm as well, doing great coverage here at The Athletic DFW. Of course, our producer here, Kent Garrison, producing many of the podcasts that you love. This one, hopefully you love it. And from a national perspective as well, check out that NFL show with the, Robert Mays, the old Prospects to Pros with Dane Brugler.
Oh, yeah.
For Father John Machota, for Saad Youssef, and for our producer, Kent Garrison, we'll be back sometime in the near future to talk Cowboys with you. I'm KT. It's been another episode of About Them Cowboys. See ya.
Y'all stay corona free, all right? And God bless.
Hey, football fans. This is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.